to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just give them another hand. You guys.
Give them a hug as well as they come to sit down. You can have a little bit of chaos. Just give them a nice hug as they go to sit down. Those of you who haven't hugged them yet. Then the kiddies church, kiddies, you can go. And I probably didn't say that loudly enough. Let's give them a nice hug as they go to sit down. If you can see them. They haven't sat down yet. Kiddies, thanks guys. The Kiddies Church volunteers are awesome. We appreciate you guys. Alright. Okay. In your Bibles, if you can turn with me. Or just look on the screen. To a message that I would like to just specifically share with our new members, but also with some of our newer older members. And first scripture there is Ephesians 2 verse 19. Says that so then you are no longer strangers or sojourners or foreigners is another word, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You are no longer strangers or sojourners or aliens or foreigners, but you are now fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And this is a scripture that has become very precious to me. And many years ago, the Lord just started to share with me around this whole principle of just really understanding the power which we as a body of believers, which we as a family have to demonstrate the love of God in a very practical way. It is interesting if you look at that verse that he speaks there about sort of three different groups of people. He speaks firstly about strangers or foreigners or aliens or sojourners, in other words, people just passing through. People who do not belong in a specific nation or a specific country. And I think in our nation, it's something we can identify with. We just very lately and still from time to time, we have to deal with these issues of people who come from the outside in. And people who now have to find a new home, make a new home, and the challenges that brings in terms of just economics. And how often people feel rejected and people feel outside and they feel excluded because the people within a specific nation speak a particular language or they walk in a specific way or they talk in a specific way or they have a whole bunch of inside jokes. Don't know whether you have tried to break into a circle of friends who have been together for quite a while. And they all share the same hobbies or they're all mountain bikers or they're roadies or they're skateboarders or the sipping saints or whatever, share a love of wine. And then you sort of on the outside trying to just figure out what are they talking about. And here we see that scripture says that God is not putting some sick joke on us. He didn't call you closer to have you feel like an outsider for the rest of your life. You are not an alien. You're not a stranger. You're not somebody who has been called simply to just pass through without really digging down your roots, exhaling and just being yourself. Being in a place where you can kick off your feet and you can snore, kick off your feet, kick off your shoes, keep your feet, snore, let your hair down if you have some. Just do what you feel comfortable with and have people grow with you. One of the things I've come to appreciate about Johannesburg in comparison to a beautiful city like Cape Town, for instance, it is a little bit easier here, I found, to just be included in a family. I think maybe because people appreciate each other more. People appreciate their need for each other a little bit more. You know, in Cape Town, there are all sorts of other things that if you don't feel lucky, you go for a walk on the beach or climb a mountain or lie in a park or whatever. And here we've got a few challenges just being able to do that. Here we are reliant upon each other. And so I've experienced that people open up their hearts quite quickly and allow you to come in quite quickly once you've been able to just win their trust. I remember when I was in the States years ago, one of the biggest mistakes I made was to sort of think that people are serious when they ask you, how are you? Just where I was, and we have it in our country from time to time as well. People say, how are you? And I'm like, I'm okay, because the person is down in the eye already. It becomes a habit just asking, but You know, so you're friendly on the outside and you welcome people and you invite them over, but it's only up to a certain point. And Scripture says that God has desired for each one of us to experience something more than just, on the one hand, being an alien, being a stranger. Where the promises of God, Paul says now, you are now co-heirs with Christ. You're not a stranger to the promises of God, to the love of God, to the peace of God, to the joy of God. But then it says something interesting, and that is that the way in which God wants to make you feel at home is not just in His presence. It's not just with you worshiping the Lord. It's not just with you having intimate times with Him. It starts there. And that is the crucial bit that has to anchor our lives. But we, as the body of Christ, have a crucial role to fulfill in terms of drawing people in. And Paul speaks about strangers, people who don't know God, people who are alienated from Him, people who think that He's cross with them. And he says, guys, you're not that anymore. God isn't cross with you anymore. He isn't angry with you. He's not keeping you at arm's length. He doesn't think that you are contagious and you're going to infect Him with some disease of sin. He loves you. And as Jesus demonstrated to us, Jesus hugged the lepers. He hung around with them. So He draws us in. But then He says, not only are you not a stranger anymore, or you're not an alien anymore, you are now a citizen. A citizen of this new kingdom called the kingdom of God. A citizen where you have certain rights because you belong to a king. And then Hebrews says that you are now kings and priests. In other words, you have received rights, things that God has given you, things that you can know that you are now called the son and a daughter of God. So you don't have to live like somebody has to beg for God's attention. He wants to give you His attention. You know, when I get home, one of the greatest joys in my life is to arrive home and to see my kids have the confidence to demand my attention, to run into my presence, and not to have to, you know, when I get home, tiptoe around me because I don't know what kind of mood I'm going to be in. Send me an SMS first and ask, is it okay if they come now, make an appointment with me first? No, they just run to me. And that does something to my heart, which I believe is a reflection of God's heart, where He wants us to draw near to Him with that excitement. Okay, but then He says, you are citizen of the kingdom. And He has given certain things to us. And we don't have time to go into this right now. But then He makes another distinction. He says, not only are you a citizen of a nation, of a kingdom, you are also part of a household. Right? So we see there's a big relationship which we share with all believers. And we're all kingdom citizens. But then it says you're also part of a household. And a household speaks of a relationship where people know each other, doesn't it? In a household, you don't have somebody, people who just know each other by name. Okay, yeah, you look like a Titus. Like, you know, you have at funerals or at weddings and stuff, you meet some of your family members. You haven't seen in ages or you have never seen. You meet them, oh, okay, we came on the same slave ship or whatever. And so we meet each other once again after generations. When you're in a household, you actually know each other. You're in relationship with each other. And that is the beauty and one of the obligations and responsibility of the local church is to demonstrate in a practical way what it means to not be a stranger anymore. So the implication of that is for us as family members is that I have responsibility to make my brother and my sister feel at home. I've got a responsibility to add to the atmosphere. Jonathan and Annika at home, as they're growing older now, they now carry certain responsibilities at home that Katie doesn't carry yet. To add to the atmosphere through their participation, through their picking up stuff, through their being obedient, all of those things. But we see here that collectively God is saying, I'm wanting you to manifest something to one another. And what is that something? We've looked at the scripture a few weeks ago, but I just want to hold it before you again. Behold how good and how pleasant it is, Psalm 133 verse 1 to 2. It is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. And I must admit, I went into the intercession meeting just before the start of the service. And I was just once again amazed. I'm sitting there and I'm like, God, this is amazing. Just being part of a body of believers where we can pray together, and we can trust God to do things in our lives. But it was as if that entire group had seen my notes. The things that they were praying, I was like, I knew God does it, but I was like dumbstruck.
through the scriptures, through the visions and the things that they've seen was exactly what the Lord had laid on my heart. So I actually felt I must get them up to preach the sermon. They could probably do a better job. But here we see God says that there's a blessing that rests upon unity. That one of the most incredible things, and we experience this, just coming together as four, five, six of us, intercession. The beauty when we're in unity, when we agree on certain things and the Holy Spirit begins to speak, and it does something to your heart, and your quiet time with the Lord is amazing, and it's incredible on your own. But when you come together and you experience the awe and the thrill of God doing something through us together. You know, that's one of the biggest blessings of the conference for me, and a blessing of a group like this, is the promise God gives us when we dwell in unity. He says He commands His blessing. It's as if God is drawn to where people are dwelling together. Where people don't just know each other on the surface, but they dwell together. So it means you dwell in the good times, you dwell in the bad times. You dwell in the times when you know, you agree with everything, and you dwell together in the times when you disagree on almost everything. But you dwell together and you work through those things, and you get to a place where you share the same common purpose. And God comes and He pours out His Spirit. The oil in the Old Testament always speaks about the Holy Spirit. Speaks about the presence of God. Speaks about the blessing of God. And He says that there where people dwell together, there where family of believers dwell together in unity, there the presence of God is our birthright. And I've discovered this over the years. That often we pray for the presence of God. We want the signs. We want the miracles. But the prerequisite is for us to dwell together. Dwell together in unity. Dwell together in a place and in a way that we comfort each other. We strengthen each other. We support each other. And so this evening I want to share a few scriptures that we're all familiar with. But I just want to highlight this again. The verse, the answer to this, we find Jesus saying in John 13, "By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Again, he says, men will know that you are my disciples by your amazing church building, and especially if they see your wonderful programs and how slick you run it. Men will know that you are my disciples. They see the big conferences that you have, and they see your wonderful music CD. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying men will know that you are my disciples when you have love for each other. Again, if you look at that scripture, it is, I think, important to note that there are two groups mentioned again, men and disciples. People and disciples. So in other words, God wants us to live in such a way that there is a distinction to be seen between people who are not disciples and people who are disciples. You see that? So people who are not disciples will notice that you are disciples by the love that you have for each other. So what I began just to meditate upon is the fact that for people to know, the Amplified says that they need to recognize and they need to see it. They need to taste it. They need to experience it. It means that we need to be in relationship with people who are not disciples. Isn't that true? For them to know. You do have the exceptions where an angel leads somebody to a group of believers and the Lord just supernaturally reveals Himself to unbelievers, but that's the exception. For the most part, God has committed and entrusted the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ to us. And He says that yes, people will be intrigued by your pleasantness, the fact that you're always smiling even when things are difficult. They might be impressed by your good stewardship, by your diligence. All of those things will get people to be curious about who you are and can get them to ask more questions. But it says the primary way people will know, people will recognize that you are my disciples is your love for each other. That means that we need to live in such a way that people can recognize it. And this is what I want to say. It is very difficult for you to visibly demonstrate the love of God for someone else, for a fellow believer, if you're not in relationship with them. It's very difficult to do that. But when you get into relationship with believers, there's something that happens, Jesus says. There's a way that we live in community. And God has designed and has decided the way I want to, in my omnipotence, in my glory, in my wisdom, the way that I want to show people that I'm a loving God is through a whole bunch of broken people, messed up as they are, who love me and who love each other. And that's the mystery of the gospel. That is like, God, that would definitely not have been my plan. Of all the plans that you could come up with, you decided to invest the glorious truth of the gospel, the future of mankind, upon messed up people. When you say, I want you guys to love each other, as messed up and as broken and as hurt as you are, I want you to love each other in such a way that people will recognize that I'm God. That I'm a God of love and of holiness and of justice. That's a big challenge. And just looking back at this year, I know in my own life, there have been times when I could have done more. There have been times when I could have walked the extra mile. And so I'm always confronted by this verse. But what I realize that Jesus is holding before us is this truth. That He didn't place us in the city of Johannesburg, didn't place us in South Africa, didn't place you in your company or in your family simply to dawdle along, simply to just casually walk by. There's something very deliberate, and Stefan spoke about it. There's a decision which we need to make to say that we are here, and I just want to reemphasize this. We are here in this city to make disciples. That is our purpose. If we are not making disciples, then we are missing it. Jesus said that this is what we need to do. We need to go out there, we need to baptize people in His name, and we need to go to all the nations, we need to make disciples of them. Not just converts, not just get them to fill in a little card, not just to have an experience, but to be disciples. And so the question I'm asking myself often is, am I still a disciple? And the very nature of the word disciple involves discipline. I think we all lose it enough to see that. It is impossible to be a disciple if you don't have discipline in your life. And one of the disciplines the Lord is speaking to us here about is the discipline of love. Love which isn't airy-fairy, love that isn't subject to emotions, but love that says, because God has first loved us, we decide to love each other, to grow in that love. And for us, you know, as pastors, we had this amazing week. We came out of the conference and God said such a lot of awesome things to us, a lot of incredible stuff that He shared with us. And on the pastor summit, a few, like 4 days or so, we spent together. And first time I played paintball in my life, I just never could get into it. But I must admit, after the first few hundred shots that I shot at somebody, actually started to feel a lot better. So I think the paintball bug has bitten me. But you should have seen these bunch of pastors together. You know, it's as if all the pent-up frustration and stuff, you know, the stuff you can never say to a congregation member? You know, somebody phones you at like 1:30 in the morning and demands your attention. It comes out in that moment, you know, and so start shooting each other and having lots of fun. And some of us have the scars to show for it. But it was great fun just bonding in that way. It's great fun just worshiping the Lord together, you know, with other pastors and just being able to relax and be ourselves and enjoy the campsite. And then Friday we got together again. And then came the word that challenged us as pastors on this question, are we still disciples? And the CRC, you all know him, many of you know him, shared with us the fact, and we started making a joke about this one lady at the campsite. She, one of the ladies dishing out the food. You know, I can be pretty persistent in trying to get somebody to smile at me. You know, so every day I'm in there. Hello, and how are you, and thank you, and no reaction. Just dishes up, that's all. So I figured out, I knew that she knew I was probably just being nice with her because I wanted an extra sausage. There was probably, no, I'm checking you. I know all you camp goers. You're just being nice because you want something. So we started joking about this. Like, man, that's like, you know, that auntie's tough. She doesn't budge at all. Giving it our best, nothing is happening. And then on Friday morning, you know, TS asked us to just, all of us, just to close our eyes. It's in the middle of worship, and we're in seventh heaven and worshiping the Lord. And he says he just wants us all to close our eyes. And he wants, we're like 30 or 40. He wants us, those of us who know the name of that lady that dished up, to put up our hands. I know I didn't put up my hand. I think it was like 3 out of the 40 of us. Those of us who knew that she, that Friday afternoon, had to go in for a hectic operation. Those of us who knew that she had some serious health issues and issues with her kids. You know how miserable you feel in a moment like that, and you realize that you get so busy with the stuff in your agenda because, hey, this is a camp. We want to leave the pastor work for a bit. You know, and just be, just relax and think about other stuff and other people. And so then we missed it. And so when I'm sharing this with you, I'm not sharing this with you to say, like, you're wretched people, you're not loving. I'm sharing this out of my heart, what God is sharing with us. The discipline God wants of us, the discipline to love. Are we disciples of love? And that means, as Stephen said, that you have to walk out of your comfort zone. You have to walk out of your need to simply just switch off now and engage with somebody and get into her world a little bit. And trust the Holy Spirit to slowly but surely just show some interest. You know, and for us as a group of leaders and people who are supposed to be leading our congregations, the Lord said to us, He's not happy with our hearts. He's wanting us to make serious commitments in our hearts towards what is important to Him. What is important to Him. And this is it. He wants the world to know that He's a loving God through the way in which we love each other. And as we, you know, and this is training ground for us, as we love each other, it becomes easier for us to love people on the outside. To grow into just reaching out to other people and to draw them into what the Lord has given us. Have you ever thought about why we have events? Why do we have perspective and community? Why do we have Sunday services and small groups? And by the way, Wednesday, invite all of you guys over to our house, 15 Lebombo Avenue, okay, a small group celebration. We're going to have it there. No program. Just going to chill and have some fun. 15 Lebombo Avenue, not street. You're going to end up in the wrong place. Okay, 15 Lebombo Avenue, right, in Quill Arena. 7 o'clock. It'd be lovely if you guys can join us there. But why do we have the events? It's simply because a pastor needs to have something to keep himself busy with. But we believe that everything that we do, all the events, the things that we do, flows out of the Scripture. And I just want to show this to you. Love speaks, you know, the different facets to love. The first one is attractional or invitational love. Okay, that means, and Jesus spoke about it, that there's a dimension of where we have something precious. We have something beautiful. We've got something incredible that's happening between us. Something that's very difficult to put your finger on very often. You just know it's special, and you know it's difficult at times, and it hurts at times, but you also know that it's a place where your heart feels safe, and you can trust people. You know, we were so thankful on Friday morning that there was a brother who loved us enough to say to us, God isn't happy with your churchianity. Somebody that loved us as fellow brothers with whom we've now walked a journey of 20, 15 years to say, but stop it. Right now, let us bring our hearts before God and ask Him to circumcise our hearts. It's a blessing to have that kind of relationship. Instead of just going on and we're on a high and we're thinking, yes, everything is fine. I say, God, yes, our hearts, there's a dimension of our hearts that you still need to have. And that is beautiful. You know how few people actually have that. And so attractional, invitational love speaks about the fact that we want to invite people. And I just want to illustrate this through two events we have coming up. The first one we have coming up is Perspective, coming up Sunday. What's happening in Perspective? Why? We have invited a whole bunch of people. Some of you have done Perspective already. Some of you still need to do it. Perspective is all part of our discipling. At Perspective, where we talk about, just go to the next one, Tanya. Yep, skip. Yeah. We talk about a few things in Perspective. It's a Sunday morning we're taking, we 2 or 3 hours or so, and we talk about salvation. What is salvation? Why do we need salvation? How do we get salvation? How do you know that you have salvation? Are there people in this house who have been saved? Are there any people with the knowledge of salvation in their heart? We know how precious that is. We talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We talk about the role of water baptism. We talk about the role of the importance of the Word of God and staying in the Word of God and falling in love with Jesus through the Word. Crucial, basic things of what it means to be a disciple. You cannot be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ if you do not know that you are saved. If you do not know that in yourself there's nothing you can do to earn God's grace and God's forgiveness. You know that there's nothing that you can do to earn power and authority except through what Jesus has given you. You cannot grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus unless you have the Holy Spirit working in you and you are yielded to Him. And you have Him coming alongside you as your paracletos, and there are times when you just can't step out of the flesh, and He comes and He helps you to do that. There are times when you cannot forgive and he comes and he helps you to do that. There are times when you cannot give and he helps you to do that. You cannot grow as a disciple if you don't have a loving, living relationship with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you'll be stuck in the flesh all along. It's very difficult to grow as a disciple if you do not know the power and the magnitude of what happens when you surrender publicly to God. Say, God, I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to my flesh and to my old way of living. And the water baptism is an outward manifestation of that. I say, I die to people's opinion of me. I die to what they think, what my family thinks and people in the world think. I die to you and I desire to live with you. And I thank you that you have resurrected me with Christ. You cannot grow as a disciple if you don't spend time in the Word of God. Daily. And just grow with Him. So my question to us as disciples here is, those of us who have done perspective, where are you standing in terms of those aspects of your faith? Where's the joy of your salvation? How is the joy of your salvation? Is it growing? You have a fresh understanding of the magnitude of what Jesus did in your life? How's your relationship with the Word of God? How's your relationship and your understanding of having died to your own purposes and your own plans and now living for God's purposes? How's your relationship with the Word? What's a sign of a disciple? A sign of a disciple is someone who makes other disciples. A disciple is someone who becomes like the master. Jesus was a disciple maker, wasn't he? He was the first original disciple maker. So my challenge to us is this. If you haven't done perspective yet, please come and do it. It's about more than just the event. We invite people to that event so that we can begin a journey. We can begin a journey to speak to one another about salvation, about the Holy Spirit, about staying in the Word of God. I've got a buddy who, like once every 2 weeks, we're on the phone and we ask each other, we're pastors, how's your time in the Word outside of preparing a sermon? And there are times when I've got to repent, I've got to say to him, man, I've been struggling just to get to the Word of God for myself, what God has to say to me. Are you walking in that kind of accountability? And then my loving challenge to you is this. If you have done perspective, are you telling other people about what you've learned? Is there somebody else you're taking by the hand? And you say, man, I want to go to perspective with you. And I'm just going to say perspective is going to teach you everything. I want to walk with you and continue to discuss certain things with you. And we're going to unpack this a little bit in the next few weeks, guys. But I want to just lay this before you, that if we want to grow in our discipleship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there are certain things we need to get into the discipline of doing, persistently and constantly. Don't let your growth with the Lord be like my exercise curve. Which was like Elmery. Persistence. Consistency. There are certain the devil knocks us silly in certain areas of our lives because we are lacking the basic disciplines. I was overwhelmed again in the conference speaking to pastors from Pakistan and Japan, the basic disciplines, the things that they have down in their lives as non-negotiables, a time with the Lord, in prayer and in the Word of God. My challenge to us is, let's walk in accountability and in transparency with each other concerning this. So please, if you haven't done perspective yet, go to the info table at the back, go and register there. If you know somebody who needs to do it, take them by the hand and say, I'm going to go with you. I want to walk this journey with you. The second one we have coming up is an event that's attractional, invitational. In other words, we invite people to it. Is our Scarlet Ladies Day. Okay, and I just want to encourage us as men especially to pray for this day. Okay, it's coming up on the 21st of October. It's 2 Saturdays from now. To really pray for what the Lord wants to do there, because we are trusting God that we will be able to create an atmosphere where Jesus can do what He does best. That is, walk into the lives of people and be Himself. Walk into the lives of people and change them. Walk into the lives of people and transform them. We all know the rape statistics. We all know the levels of abuse in our country, which is at the highest, one of the highest, if not the highest in the world. And we know what the devil is trying to tell women in, how he lies to them about the self-worth and their identity. And it is something which we as men cannot be casual about. Because you're going to marry them, you're going to have them, you're going to have them above you, next to you, alongside you. We need to pray for the women around us. So I want to encourage us as men to diarize that date, the 21st of October, and to pray for it, because we're trusting the Lord that women will be released in joy. Like the scripture says, rejoice, barren one, for your time has come. They'll be able to dance and to rejoice. We trust in the Lord like Esther. They'll be able to walk in their purpose of intercession, stand before a king and plead for the lives of the people around them. We trust in God like the Proverbs 31 woman. They'll be able to excel in the marketplace. And we trust in God to create an atmosphere of joy and thanksgiving and excellence where we can invite people not to an event, but to an atmosphere where they can have a Christ encounter. An atmosphere where Jesus can meet them like he did the woman at the well. Now I'm going to ask you guys, please, as well, if you feel led in your heart to sponsor somebody, do that. It's 180 Rand, which we believe is money well spent. The entire day that we trust in the Lord God, we just want the women in our lives to know they're special, they're valued, they're precious. Maybe the woman in your life needs to be that cleaning lady at work or somebody that the Lord has laid on your heart. Just get in there, invite them, trust the Lord to do something in their lives. All right, so our events, and this is just two of them. Guys, we don't just have events for the sake of having them. We have them because we want to create an opportunity where people can come, and once they have come, they can be exposed to the love of God. But that's not the band's responsibility, and it's not the pastor's responsibility. It's all of us as a family that can demonstrate that love to the people that come. So I want to ask you guys in the small groups as well, when you hear of an event, don't just write it off as some event. Okay, if we do that, we then miss the purpose. But our events are geared towards saying, Jesus, we don't want anybody to miss an opportunity to meet with you. The second way in which we demonstrate love is not to invite people to come to us, but for us to go to people, to demonstrate that love physically. I love what Emperor Julian said. He's one of the emperors that really persecuted the church in the early days. And he said this, very, very telling. He said, it's a scandal. It's in a letter that he writes to one of the other high priests within the, one of the other priests rather, within the Roman temple worship system. And he says to them, it's a scandal that there is not a single Jew who is a beggar, and that the godless Galileans, that's how they saw the Christians, godless Galileans, godless in the sense of not worshiping the emperor, care not only for their own poor, but for ours as well. While those who belong to us look in vain for the help that we should render them. Such a beautiful picture of missional love. In other words, of love, it says we are fellowship, we are family of love, and we invite people into that family, and we trust the Lord to create an atmosphere where they will feel at home and they will be exposed to the love of Jesus. But at the same time, we take what he has given us to them, and we don't wait for them to come to us. And I believe that as a whole, we've been quite good at inviting people. We can grow in that area, but we're quite good at inviting people and saying, come to us. What the Lord has been saying to us at the conference and last little while even, is it's time for us to go, right? To be light. In other words, that people will be drawn to that light, the city set on a hill, but also to be salt, to infiltrate, to go out there, to take the love of God to the people where they are. Now, how that's going to happen, it's something we need to talk about. Okay, it's going to look different for different ones of us. And I believe the opportunities God gives us might be surprising, might be right at your doorstep, might be a lot easier, maybe a lot more difficult than you think. I want to show you an example of someone who had a missional love and who had a relationship with the Holy Spirit that enabled her to say, the love that has been given to me is a love that I can give to somebody who deserves it the least. Thanks, Tanya.
Over the past few years, I've been on this journey of writing songs inspired by the real-life stories that people sent to me. This one story in particular has had a profound impact on me. It hit me kind of hard. It's about a woman who did the impossible, and it made me ask myself if I could do the same. Renee had four kids. Two of her daughters were twins. Megan was coming home from the beach one night with her best friend when their car was struck by a drunk driver named Eric, a 24-year-old kid. Megan lost her life. Eric killed both girls that were in the car. Renee lost her daughter in an instant. Next thing she knows, she finds herself in a courtroom watching this young man, this 24-year-old man, get sentenced to 22 years in prison. Renee wrote to me and said, I now have a mission that I never would have chosen. What she meant by that is that in the years that follow, she began to travel around to schools and churches and different functions, and she would speak about the dangers of drunk driving. But as the years progressed, she felt like something was missing from her presentations. And that's when God put it on her heart that she had not forgiven this man who took the life of her daughter. And so she reached out and did the impossible. She reached out to Eric in prison and said, I forgive you. The ripple effects of that act of forgiveness are still being felt today. That young man's life was absolutely changed because this woman forgave him. He said, I can't even forgive myself, and she forgave me. Eric said he found his eternal salvation as a result of this act. One by one, all of Renee's family members followed her lead, and they reached out and expressed forgiveness to Eric. So much so that now they describe Eric as part of their family, like a son to Renee. The story doesn't stop there, though. Renee went to the courts along with her family, and she was able to have Eric's sentence cut in half from 22 years to 11 years. This blew me away. The reason she did it is so that Eric could have a second chance at life and so that he could join her in their presentations. She told me that now she shares not only about the dangers of drunk driving, but also about the power of forgiveness.
Now, the story behind this song is from someone right here in our area. We're going to let her tell the story. She won't know you're here. Are you comfortable with hiding?
I'm comfortable with hiding, yeah. I'm nervous right now.
Me too, my balls are sweaty.
She has no idea I'm here.
Yeah,
no.
She doesn't even,
and this is the thing, she has no idea that there's been a song written inspired by her story. I'm in another room waiting to go in there and surprise Renee. I can see her on a video screen. She has no idea I'm in the room right next.
And you submitted the story, I know, to Matthew West.
It's a story that needs to be told, right? Because not for me. It's not about me. It's about God, and it's about forgiveness. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to chance this. And I sent it in, and I just prayed, you know, God, if this is supposed to happen, then I just, you know, hope that it will.
You know, we know Matthew, and he wrote a song about your story.
No way.
Matthew has sent us the song because he wanted you to be one of the first people to hear it.
Oh my God. Are you ready to hear it?
Yes.
It's called Forgiveness.
It's called Forgiveness.
First of all, I'm blown away. What a gift.
Now, have you ever seen him in concert, or
no,
did you?
No, and I wanted to see him. I tried to go see him when he was in West Palm because I thought that I would have a presentation down there, and
right.
I thought.
During
and
the
then,
story
of course,
of your life,
you know,
tour?
Yeah, yes. No, actually, I don't know if it was he tried, you know, he's like,
right.
They sent out a thing, if you're going to be in any of these cities, and they were all too far away. And then when he was
right.
at the thing in Orlando, I thought, well, I'm going to, you know, go see him, you know, then.
Right.
And I had to go present.
So you never could make the connection
never
with him
could.
Personally?
Never could.
Never seen him?
No.
Turn around.
Where are you? Oh, my God.
Let's just close our eyes. Let's pray. I just want us to take a moment and just to reflect on the just where you are in your journey of discipleship. with Jesus. We were praying beforehand, and the sense that there are some of us who, in spite of what we know in theory, in spite of what we know in our head, the Word of God says that we do not need to be strangers. We do, for the most part, feel like strangers in the house of God. Now, there are times when things feel a bit different and sort of catch glimpses of what's possible, but for the most part, our hearts are detached and sort of feel like spectators to love. And we really prayed and we really sense that the Lord has a very special time of healing for you tonight. That He's going to settle something in your heart once and for all to know that you belong. And you will not be able to necessarily look to your circumstances. In fact, this will be one of the signs that you will know that this is God, because not much in your circumstances would have changed. Yet you will know that you know that you know deep down in your heart a fountain will have been unblocked that enables you to look at people through new eyes and enables you to hear not just the noise but to hear the sound of their hearts, because up to this point you have sort of felt trapped in a silent movie where you see mouths move and these noises are coming out, but you don't hear anything intelligible. You don't hear any word that reaches your heart, and it's as if you've been cut off from heart-to-heart communication. And tonight I believe the Lord is saying to you that He is opening up the pathway of communication for you. There's the signal that has been lost. You sort of, at times, you get to the place where you hear and then the signal gets dropped. Everything goes blank again. And the Lord says that He's establishing a permanent signal tonight to your heart for you to know that you are His. Because you are His, you belong. And so your attention and your focus will shift tonight away from people, away from what they do and what they do not do, to Him and what He has done. And that He's promised to you that you are His fellow citizen, together with the saints, part of the household of God. You are a living stone being built up into Him. The promise is yours. The story we used to read when we were small about this big bad wolf who had his tummy cut open and a whole bunch of bricks put inside of it. And to try to drink water, he fell into the water and drowned. And I just had this picture of you. You come to the water of love and of life. You sense God is holding before you, but you feel so unbearably heavy. You're afraid that once you take that step, you will die to everything that you know and that is you. And I believe that's a very real fear. And the Lord is saying to you that you can trust this river, that He knows where He's leading it. Don't die on the riverbank. Don't die just lying there and looking at this river pass you by and yet you never step in. Scripture speaks about this and calls it the orphan-heartedness. The orphan that doesn't know that he belongs. Lives in the same house, wears the same clothes. Goes to the same schools, but in his heart, isn't rooted and grounded. The Lord says, I have not given you that orphan spirit. I've given you a spirit of adoption. I just want Nelia to come. And Nelia, I want you to stand proxy. It means you stand in the gap. We had a bit of miscommunication in terms of who could be here and who couldn't be here. Nelia is a very precious member of our family. I believe there's a purpose to it as well, Nelia. I'd like to pray for Nelia. And would like to pray for her, but I would also like to pray for all of you who in your heart feel passed over by God. We have a certificate to give Neely, and she's part of the group. We're welcoming home. And you sort of have in your heart, you have that sense, but with God, when I was full of expectation, you passed over me. So you're a little bit offended with God tonight. And the Lord says He knows about it. But He has made room for you. He's extended the meeting for you. He's extended the window of grace for you. There's this mega grace that He has available for you, and that is yours by birthright. And that His promise that those who are last will be first holds true for you. Like David, your dad didn't even remember you. He had to be reminded there's another son. And yet God said, but that forgotten son is my boy. He is not just the future king of Israel. He is and will forever be the picture of my son. If that is you, and I don't want to embarrass you, but I do want to ask you just to raise your hand so I can pray with you as well. You feel just it's a time and you needed God, and either He or His people just couldn't be there for you. Just raise your hand. There's real healing for you. I want you to be bold. Reach into the air. It's an acknowledgement that the Lord is speaking to you. Okay, see that. Thank you. Okay, see that. Thank you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your sons and your daughters, God. And I thank you for Neely, our Father. And I thank you, Lord, that as she stands proxy, God, that she can stand for so many, Father, who, Lord, have felt at times, not just felt, God, but indeed have been looked over, Lord. But Father, I bring to bear upon her life, Lord, upon the lives of those who have raised their hands, the truth of your word that says that you make all things work together for good, for those who love you. That there is reserved for them, God, a greater celebration. There is reserved for them a greater joy than they could ever imagine. And Father, I thank you that you unlock the fountains of joy over their lives tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you that you have prepared for Neely, our Lord God, and for all of us, God, a table of vindication in the presence of our enemies. Thank you that there is a special attention that you are focusing upon them, Father God, a special dispensation of your grace and your favor, Lord, that you are opening up over their lives that will not be denied. Father, I thank you that you turn the tide with finality in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that your promise is true for them, that those who sow in tears, Lord God, in the morning will reap great joy, great celebration. Thank you for the prophetic significance of this life. God, and there are some of us here, Lord, who have been going through things because at a stage in their lives they said yes to your call and did not maybe understand the full implication of that, that it was not just to speak the words but to be the words, to be the message, like the prophets of old. They've been living it and experiencing it, God, and couldn't make sense of it, but thank you that you are perfecting your love even through them because you are displaying your message to the broken people around them. So we thank you, Lord, for the prophetic significance of Nelia's life. We thank you, Lord God, for where you're taking her, the places and the vindication that you have in store for her. And we thank you we can celebrate her. God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, Lord, we let us stand. Let us all stand. Thank you for your call, Father, upon us, Lord, to with boldness to invite people, God, into our lives, to the love that you have given us, Father God, and to the joy you've placed inside of us. Thank you for the unity, Lord, with which you have blessed us. Thank you, Lord God, for the hope that you've stirred inside of us, Father. Thank you for the next chapter, Lord God, of this church, this history, Lord, the next chapter of the story that you're wanting to write before us, God, of us, Lord, having our eyes wide open for the opportunities to demonstrate your love. Lord, in intercession beforehand, Father, you specifically and deliberately spoke about the fact that you want to lead people into a new dimension of forgiveness. such confirmation, Father God, to what you had planned beforehand. And so, I just want to be obedient, and I want to ask you that if the Lord has spoken to you about the power of forgiveness, that it's either lacking in your life, or that He wants to lead you in a way to just demonstrate that and live that specifically towards people around you, then I want you to step forward, and I would love to pray with you and just consecrate your life to the Lord, asking for His grace upon you. Because the words of that song is true, that there's dimension. God asks us to do the impossible, to love the unlovable. And for this lady, it was a train wreck, a car wreck rather, that changed her life completely. And I sense the Lord is saying that He's holding before us a different path. He doesn't want us to get to that place necessarily. Our lives have to be so damaged before we respond to the power of His love. But does someone in your life feel like a car wreck? You feel like, God, there's no way you can bring anything good out of this. And I want you to step forward, because I believe there's a great, beautiful story that God is wanting to manifest through your life. And so if you, two things, if you need just the power of the Holy Ghost to enable you to forgive someone, then I want you to step forward. And if you feel like your life right now feels like the devil has blindsided you, you're heading in a specific way, and suddenly if this big truck drove over your life and you didn't know how God will ever be able to make sense of it. It can be in your finances or your health or your calling or your relationships. I want you to come forward as one. We're going to pray with you and just minister to you. And you want to want us to sing a song about giving our hearts to the Lord. And while we do that, I want us just to, just where you stand, and just give your heart to the Lord again. Just afresh, and say to Him, Lord, here I am. I give to you what I have. Father, thank you that we can say to you, Lord, that our greatest desire, God, is to not just be casual Christians, Father, not just to follow, God, after our emotions and after things, Lord God, the busyness of our schedules, but, Father God, to be disciples of you, to follow you deliberately, follow you purposefully, to follow you, Lord God, with direction. Thank you that you have called us as a church, Lord, to be disciple makers, Lord, to disciple other people, to simply, Lord God, take them by the hand as you have taken us by the hand. To constantly have someone that we are following, and to have people who are following us. And that's also someone I want to pray for, that you, right now, you don't have people following you. You don't have people to whom you are teaching, showing, demonstrating anything. You don't have people that you are holding accountable. You don't have people into whose lives you are speaking. Then I need you to step forward as well, to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not just willing to be a follower, but I also want, Lord, to be able to take others by the hand and take up the call of discipleship upon my life. Lord God, so we thank you that you've given everything to us, and we can give you our heart and to stand, Lord God, with our arms outstretched to you in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. We're going to just worship the song. Service is officially dismissed, so if you need to go, the Lord bless you. Have an amazing week, incredible day. But if the Lord is speaking to you, and I want you to respond quickly. Special request, please, not to wait till the end after I'm done praying to everybody to come for prayer. Please come now while the Lord is speaking to you. Something powerful about prompt obedience. Lord bless you. If you are new here, please spend some time with us. Just to care in the foyer. You can have some facilitators and zone coaches. Small group facilitators, if you guys can come as well. Just pray with us. And just give our hearts to the Lord. So.